baseball, hot dogs, apple pie, and you fill in the blank. Summer and Chevy go together like road trips and sunshine. Check out the full line of Chevy SUVs and trucks at your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers today. Chevy, drive Chicago.
Your social calendar is filling up quick right now. Summer's coming, and I'm here to remind you to schedule a visit to the northwest side of Chicago, to the best butcher shop in Chicago, Joseph's Finest Meats. Why? I grew up in a butcher shop. I know the difference between quality and not quality. And I'm telling you, I would not be advertising or supporting them if I didn't know their product. Whether it's Italian sausage, USDA prime aged beef, or delicious chops, and get them thick and brine them. These guys are a must for summer cooking. If you don't have the time, you're frantic, and people are coming over, I'm not ready, go there and get what you need. They have frozen stock, they have frozen items, homemade frozen, the kind of thing that you would serve at your home to your family and friends. When you're at Joseph's Finest Meats, Sal and Ben will treat you like family. I guarantee that, personally guarantee, because it is a family business. It's a family butcher shop. There are a few of them left. These are the last of the breed. So do yourself and anyone on your social calendar a favor and make time to visit Joseph's Finest Meats on Addison and Nordica on the far northwest side of the city. A family tradition since 1977, 7101 West Addison Street, Chicago. Prime aged beef, sausages, homemade, and only the finest meats and cheese. And don't forget the provolone. I'm going to call and check and see if you got it. Joseph's Finest Meats, the proud sponsors of John Cass News and the Chicago Way podcast. Cheers. You know how much smoke is out there, and you think it's from Canada, and you're probably right. It's from Canada. But there's a lot of smoke that's being blown into your eyes. In Illinois, the Chicago skyline disappeared. And you can't trust the media because you've already established that they're lying to you and tricking you and putting you on an agenda. It's all confusing at a time when we have problematic media in Chicago and Illinois. Jeff Carlin is here, executive producer, WGN Radio, friend of Cats, baker of pies. And me, I'm John Cass, columnist and editor of johncassnews.com, where you always get a good cup of common sense. And you, in the smoke, with the smoke in your eyes, you're trying to see. And you can't see because it's too hazy. And where are you? When you're walking or going through the work every day and you're trying to think, how can I get through this day? How can I get through this day with a semblance of reality? And you hear educators screaming at you, give me the child until he is seven and I will give you the man. And you wonder why children or why young people, American young people, are less patriotic than they ever had been. Why do they turn away from the founding fathers, the Declaration of Independence? Why are they embracing violence as a political means to an end? You're on the Chicago Way podcast on WGN Plus.
So this is a guy who lives high on the hog, and he has this Tammany Hall style attitude to power. And it's the Chicago way, absolutely.
Look, the Chicago way is a deep cultural phenomenon.
It's the Chicago way.
The Chicago way, that's the focus.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man. There was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand, defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso in a tower by the river. Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way.
Hey, Jeff Carlin.
Hey, John Cass. I think we should start today off something a little different on the Chicago Way with you and I. I think we should play a game. In the spirit of World Cup coming to an end. And this game is called One of These Things Is Not Like the Other. I'm going to read three headlines to you, John.
All right.
And I want you, these are the three latest headlines from two reputable news sources. And I want you to tell me which paper you think these came from. In fact, I'm gonna stretch this out a little bit. I know we talked planned for only two sources, but why not? Let's make it three. And I'm going to see if you can pick out which sites I'm reading from. All right.
All right.
Here's your first collection of stories. Man in critical condition after Gold Coast stabbing.
Okay.
Person injured during struggle with cops at large gathering in Fuller Park. Alleged shooter arrested for gunning down man who stabbed a woman in Inglewood. All right, that's your first collection of headlines. Here's your second collection of headlines. Bike lane ticketing program records big fines against delivery companies. GOP candidate Darren Bailey uses trespassing arrests at Governor J.B. Pritzker's home for a familiar attack on crime.
That's a headline that tells you not to even read the story.
And in rural southern Illinois, a cattle farmer fights back against the emerging threat from above. Okay, and now here's your third collection of headlines. Woman slashes man's neck near Mag Mile.
Uh-huh.
Nine-time felon gets 25 years for stomping woman to death during robbery aboard Red Line train in the Route. And suburban cop sent confidential information to suspect in shooting case. Now, where do you think those three sets of headlines came from? The first one, kind of focused on crime, but headlines a little misleading. The second one, focusing on some pretty light stuff with a headline that is very pointed and clearly has some sort of bias in calling it a familiar attack on crime. Or the third set, which was seemingly informational headlines designed to set the table for the story.
Can I please use my magical sniffer here?
Sure, please, John. Pull your sniffer out.
I want to sniff the commie in all this. Is there some kind of commie influence? Leftist influence, maybe Soros influence? Well, let's see. If you have like GOP candidate Darren Bailey uses trespassing arrest at Governor J.B. Pritzker's home for familiar attack on crime. In other words, don't read this story. I don't know why I put this headline in here. You shouldn't read it. That is the Chicago Tribune in its corporate glory, leftist corporate glory.
Ding, 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 ding.
Because, I saw this headline and I was like amazed, and I thought, well, you know, the current managing editor of the Chicago Tribune is a person who was defending Soros in the past and really doesn't, they don't like crime stories at the Chicago Tribune. Now, the other story is the guy stomping the woman to death on the CTA.
Yeah.
That's a story that really people would want to read, because if I take the CTA, I've written a few stories myself. That's the kind of story that people who take the CTA would want to read.
Right.
Like this one, man arrested with machete on CTA twice in 3 days.
Right.
What is going on here?
Well, I mean, this is the Bailey story alluded to this, but 10-time felon was not on monitoring anymore somehow, escaped his monitoring system and was found in the governor's backyard. And when Darren Bailey brings it up to the Tribune, it's just this, oh, just your same old Darren Bailey taking his story and making it a political thing. And it's like, well, it is.
He's manipulating the statistics. He's taking advantage of
right.
crime stories. Yeah.
With over three decades of serving up streetwise insight and local perspective on Page Two, the voice of John Cass has a home at johncassnews.com, a place where common sense is still served daily.
Listen up. You like being treated as a chump alone, as a fool, sitting on a stool, smiling wanly at the sky?
Don't be a chump alone and subscribe at johncassnews.com.
I'm John Cass, 40 years, a newspaper man in Chicago. I won't name the place. It's just the paper now.
That's the Chicago way.
But I'm asking you to join me so you can get a decent cup of common sense, at least. You're not going to get it from the media. It's time that you join the frontier of independent journalism at johncassnews.com.
Don't get caught in the parade of chumalones.
Traditional media, mainstream media like the paper, they're all in on it. They think you're stupid. You know what they think? They think you're a chumbalone.
Subscribe at johncassnews.com now for only $50 a year and become a member of the No Chumbalone Zone.
That's the question, John, I wanted to get to with you is, but you know, when you're writing, you're doing reporting, straight reporting, your headlines came from where? explain that process, because I don't know if everybody is in on that.
Where my headlines came from?
Yeah, where a headline on a story you would write when we would see it in the paper or online. Whose hands were on the headline?
Mine. When I write a headline, like, for example, crime and lawlessness and anarchy consumes the city of Chicago and the people of Cook County, that's my headline. I wrote it because I want to reach them. I want to speak to them because I know that media is not speaking to them. That's why they're walking away from media.
Right. And when you were back at the paper, what was the process like?
The process was I'd write a story and I'd put a headline on it. And then we'd go round and round with editors, most of them leftists, who would fight me. Like, you can't say this, you can't say that. And then go on and crying and whining and foot stamping and pulling of hair until finally it's out there and it's finally in the paper.
Right.
But you know what? They did not want stories about, like, the guy getting stomping the woman to death on the L.
Right.
Stomping a woman to death? You got to have boots to do that. What's going on with that? Is this Chicago?
This is Chicago. It's interesting. I mean, each of these. So the first set was the Sun Times, and the one that the tip off to the rip off, if you will, thanks Better Business Bureau, is that the Sun Times story talks about a large gathering of people in Fuller Park, and they were struggled with the cops that hurt somebody. Well, that's a really nice way of saying a bunch of people got together and were unruly, and the cops came up and someone got injured.
Right, I mean, to stop them.
Right. Yeah. And so they lay the blame on the cops. It's with cops, you know, struggle with cops got someone hurt. You know, that's not the story. The story is a bunch of people got together and were causing mayhem, and cops had to step in because otherwise that's how you get riot. And then the second grouping was the Darren Bailey headline, which is just, again, GOP candidate Darren Bailey uses trespass arrest for familiar attack on crime. Well, that's a news headline. I mean, that's an op-ed column. I mean, that's a political column in my book, because you're handing out that you are think that this is just nonsense. Oh, just another fatality attack crime that comes from the Tribune. And then you get to the last grouping, which was CWB Chicago, which is basically they pull the facts off of the service for people they know. They reached into the records that are all public. I mean, these are not, they have no magic eight ball where they're seeing stuff. I mean, they get tipped off to stuff, but they're pulling these things from court records and then telling it, like, giving it a narrative of what happened, this happened, that, who was there, this is what, and then filling in the gaps with what information they can glean from officials. That's reporting. The rest of it it's this nebulous sort of spoon feeding of ideas that people are, you know, blind to the justification for it and the reason for it. And it's pretty much to make you believe what they believe. And that's not their job. That's not their goal. And it's the same crap that's happening in teaching, as teaching is plagued with, as unions, you know, have more and more political control. And I'm a member of a union. I mean, we're not against the unions here. I'm against unions trying to indoctrinate people for their reasoning and their reasoning. I don't care what they say about change and good and being a force for this and that. The reasoning at the end of the day is to gain power and to gain money that comes with power. Full stop.
Give me the child until he is seven, and I will have him for life.
Who said that?
That was a medieval pope who understood what the power of education and indoctrination. And you know what we wonder now? You look at the news and you think, why are so many people unpatriotic or anti-patriotic? Why are so many people willing to embrace violence and anarchy in order to get their point across?
Right.
Well, I don't know. Who taught the kids? That's what it is. No offense, Jeff. I know you're going to be a great teacher, and my own son is a teacher. I think he's a great teacher.
I know.
I want to believe that.
I know he is. He's got a good heart and a good mind and a good core, and I know he's a fantastic teacher. And he does. And he's in it for the right reasons. He's not in it to. He's in it to change kids' lives, you know, for their benefit, not his. And you nailed it there, John. I mean that idea that they want, you know, to to make this these kids theirs, you know, to change the way they feel. And it's comes from the top. I mean, this is, you sent me this, but this is from a clip from just this past weekend, the AFT National Convention in Washington, D.C., which is the American Federation of Teachers, and Randy Weingarten. And this is a short clip, so it's kind of out of context, but it's the core and it's the crescendo of her big address to the members. And listen to what she says, and just, I hope your eyes don't roll as hard as mine.
To protest together, to vote together, to act together, to bring about change, real, lasting, life-improving change. That is the power and potential of our movement and of the AFT.
Really? That's the power? No point in there did they say, was there anything about raising kids up and enlightening the next generation and making the next generation the better generation, the best generation yet? You know, none of that. This is the stuff. And you know what they're teaching, John? And it kind of leads to our next little topic here. But they're teaching, and it drives me insane. And we talked to a little bit about with Charles Lipson last week. Mm-hmm. They see the Constitution as a roadblock to their agenda. And so they want to get rid of it because they don't want to do the hard work that is written into the Constitution to make change happen. They want change through force, change through riot, change through big voices and loudness. They're not trying to convince anybody. If you can't be convinced, get out of the way. That's what they want. And that's just the antithesis of what we are as a country. I mean, this country is, the idea is that if you want to change, you want the community, you want your world to be reflective of what your values are, there's a whole long way of doing it. There's a tons of ways to do it. You can vote. You can run for office. You can donate money to causes. You can be involved as a volunteer. You can change the Constitution. But no, that's too hard. That's too much work. That's what they're teaching this year. They're teaching these generations, these kids, not to be part of the system, but to burn the system down to get what they want. And how un-American is that?
Give me the child until he is seven, and I will give you the man.
Right. And people will go, well, Thomas Jefferson said, well, if you don't like it, a revolution is good for everybody. That was before we were a country. That's before we had established ourselves and said, hey, this is, we've got the tools. We've got the blueprint for an amazing country. And we're there. We're building it every year, every generation. And they want to go back to the first generation and start all over again.
They hate this country. Yeah. Randy Weingarten and her minions hate the country. They don't like the family getting involved, the mothers and fathers getting involved in the education of the children. They preach against that constantly. I hear her and my brain shrieks with pain. Randy Weingarten, you know, that we were talking about the Tribune a few minutes ago. Totally, you know, don't listen to this. It's just another Republican talking about crime. Mm-hmm. Why pay attention?
Yeah, use crime to his advantage or whatever.
Who's the managing editor who's in charge of that stuff now? Her name is Stacy Sinclair. She replaced a guy named Phil Jurek, who was a common sense fellow. And Stacy came from the Royal Pratt School of Politics and Journalism. The Royal Pratt School of, you know, let's demonize anyone in our way. Let's take John Cass and make him a pariah. Let's accuse him of anti-Semitism. Cass is an anti-Semitic. You don't even have to listen to it. That's who she is. She was a leader of that union. And now look at what they do in the Tribune. But it's the point that our friend Drew Hayes was making.
Mm-hmm.
In another context, Sunday, when you have news that people can't trust and believe in and rely on, they have no place to hold. They have no rock to hold when the wind is blowing so high and threatening to rip them out of the ground. Same thing with that. That's what you've uncovered, Jeff. You've seen it.
Yeah, I have. Yeah, Drew. I mean, Drew Hayes, who great column in John Cass News this past weekend. I highly recommend it. And it's using numbers and facts is not is not what most people in agenda politics like to do. But he does that, and he compares us, you know, that how it's the media is painting Illinois and Chicago as these bastions of, you know, progressiveness or bastions of the world's moving forward. You know, they're doing the right thing. They're leading the way. And in reality, yeah, they're not.
Here's my question. Which state is more of a hellhole for the taxpayers? California or Illinois?
It's tough to say, John. I think with the numbers read that California is probably, just because of its scope and scale, worse. But Illinois is right behind it. I mean, we're not... California is by far has the taxes are just way above. I mean, we think the taxes here are bad. They're even worse.
Yes.
But the median price for a home in California is just shy of $1 million, like $0.9 million. In Illinois, it's 0.3, you know, $300,000. That's insane. That's absolutely insane. I mean, if it's three times higher, how could you? I mean, that doesn't make any sense. You know, what is happening? You know, why are people clamoring to get into these homes, or does it cost a fortune to build a home? I don't think it's because people are clamoring to get into California and buy homes, because please see, just like Illinois, they have, you know, a net negative migration into their state. And True is great. I you know, True and I go back with you, John, back to the WLS days. People read the column. There's a nice little blurb in there kind of explaining who Drew was. But for those who aren't know, Drew Hayes is long time, been in media forever. I mean, this guy has seen everything from cable, TV, radio, you name it. I mean, he's been around. And he was our boss at WLS back in the day. And, you know, Drew and I clearly disagree on you know, where we land on the political spectrum. I'm more of a centrist. Some would say a leftist.
Yes, I would say.
Drew, more on the right. I mean, Drew used to call me a daily cause when we worked together. But he respected me because I did my work. I worked hard, and he knew that.
You're a good producer, man.
Right.
You're the best producer in radio.
Thank you, John. And a conservative station, no less. I mean, that's the thing is the people, you know, the baby with the bathwater is not, you know, it doesn't work like that. You can do the work. It's about respecting the work and respecting, you know, being fair and honest. And honestly, my job there was to be the person and say, well, what if this? And, you know, sure, I can get laughed out of a room full of conservatives. But the fact that I'm there making the conversation and being, you know, respect at the end of the day, you know, Drew said to me once that, you know, I was a, you know, part-time employee who was maxing out my hours and couldn't do any overtime. And I wasn't making a ton of money. And Drew knew that. And he came to me one day and he said, you know, I know you can't, you know, you only can work at Starbucks and make more money, you know, across the street. But I appreciate you're here. I want you to be here. And best, you know, here's what I can do for you. I mean, he offered me a couple of routes to earn some extra money. And I was very grateful for that. And, you know, he reached out to me when you were sick, you know, and his, you know, making sure I was all right and seeing how you were. And he's a good guy. And so please read his piece, because it's, you may disagree with his politics, but you cannot disagree with the facts as he lays them out about comparing Illinois and California and kind of laying out that Illinois follows the JB bandwagon circus. You know, we're due to be just as messed up and in much trouble as California is. And
corporate Illinois is like very much like the Tribune now. Following what JB says, doing his bidding. I don't know if it helps. If it helps the people, it doesn't really help. And you know what? Back in the day, let me kind of tweak this a little bit, Jeff.
Yeah.
Were the people that we worked with back in the day at WLS when it was a great station? Name some of them.
Well, we had John Dempsey in the newsroom, a great newsman.
Yeah.
I think he was very honest and would absolutely not run a story unless he was sure it was worth running. Ryan Burrow was one of our reporters out in the field at the time.
Nick Gale.
Nick Gale, who's still at LS, who's now in charge of their newsroom.
Right. Don Wade and Roma.
Don Wade and Roma, yeah.
Jeff Carlin was there.
Yeah, Bruce Wolf, Dan Proft, yeah.
Dan Proft and Bruce Wolf were there. I really never understood how Dan did not kill Bruce Wolf. Did you ever think that was going to happen? Because I did.
No.
Just strangled.
I was sad. I was sad that that group falling apart. I mean, Bruce is his own worst enemy, and he's probably the first to admit it. That, you know, he's prickly on his best days, and he's too smart for his own good. You know, he's a very smart guy. There's no doubt about that. But you know, he couldn't sometimes had trouble delivering his intelligence in a way that which just wasn't just mean or
psycho.
Yeah, impulse control issues, I would say, if I was diagnosing him. But the thing was, granted, I'm saying diverse, you know, we were in a minority sense, probably not, but in a thought sense, yeah, everybody in there had definitely had differing perspectives. I mean, most of the producers were, you know, would be considered very progressive or left leaning, but we did the job.
And I still talk to them.
Yeah.
They did the job. No one tried to tell me this is the way, not this way.
Right.
Don't criticize this person. No one ever did that.
Right. And it's, you know, it's always about balance too. It was about trying to, and I had Don Wade and Roma would have outgoing Jan Schakowsky on once a week, you know, and it would get contentious and they would, you know, spar about what they felt the direction the country was going in. And then, you know, she got hip to the idea of not being tainted by going on WLS, essentially the enemy, and that evaporated very quickly. And that was in the Obama era. Yeah,
you stopped, you know,
her people.
Up.
She, yeah. her, they started gate. Her people started gatekeeping her and would not pass on invites. And you know, I ran into her once, asked her why she stopped coming on Donnarumma, and she says, "Oh, they stopped asking me," which wasn't true because I asked them every week, and it was her people. You know, her people who were. Saying, "Oh, we don't want to be, you know, she's not going to have time for that." You know, ignoring the fact that it's a healthy thing in a democracy to debate and discuss and disagree, but not in their worldview.
That's how I grew
absolutely.
Up.
Absolutely, I grew up in a Republican and Democratic household. You know, my mom came from a conservative family, and my dad came from a progressive family, and it was always interesting to talk about stuff. I mean, we debated stuff every night about whatever was in the paper, and you know, it was healthy. And I got a full world view, and that's probably why I'm more of a centrist, because I, you know, you can't have the yin without the yang, and that kind of goes back to this Randy Weingarten AFT thing, you know, that you scorched earth. If you're in their way, you're their enemy, and even if you know you're not, and it's kind of depressing.
We'll take care. Children will turn them into Yanisaris, and they will be the shock troops, the point of the spear for the Sultan. Is that what they are doing? Mm-hmm. Yes, they are, in some way.
Yep.
I mean, it's kind of scary, but
it is. It certainly is. But John, I think I don't think we want to go out on a bad note today, because we got enough going on in our lives.
No, I want to go on a good note. Give me a good note, like C sharp. You know, there's one thing we could talk about that was a positive thing, a good note, and that's the World Cup. The 2026 World Cup was a fantastic success.
Yes, absolutely. It? Absolutely. That's some positive news. People may have their opinions about some of the calls and FIFA and whatnot, but all that is aside, it was good soccer. It was people enjoying it and seeing our country for its the amazing thing that is the land of opportunity. And I'm very proud of what we showed them. We showed the world that, you know, you can't believe what's coming out of the New York Times or what's coming off of CNN. I mean, that was the thing. Oh, John, this is quick side note. I was at my dad's watching CNN. We're watching the coverage of the Attorney General confirmation hearings.
Uh-huh.
And CNN could not.
Todd Blanche.
Not, right. They could not get over the fact that any appointee that he would not say that Trump explicitly lost the 2020 election. And they were losing their mind over that he wouldn't say that. He came out and says, "I am not election denier. Joe Biden was certified. Joe Biden was president. You know, Joe Biden won." You know, that's what he says. But they could not let it go that he would not explicitly come out and essentially badmouth his future boss and current boss on national TV. Like, what? And they couldn't get their heads around that. Oh my God, how come it's just so disingenuous? It's so,
It's the same type of hysteria that Jen Schakowsky right. showed you long ago, where she couldn't appear on WLS because it might be a bad look for her.
Right.
Like bipartisanship right. would be terrible.
And that's and so that's where they left it. But that's the world they see, right? The worldview or the snapshot of what we are. And it's agenda journalism that clearly, I mean, you can see it with their own eyes that's not the reality in this country. And
yes,
that's what I like to hang my hat on, that hopefully we can, show that we're not a perfect country. No country is, but we have all the mechanisms we've used them throughout our history to improve and make ourselves better and progress. They're all about progression.
We're not a perfect country, but we will be more perfect if we destroy Argentina in the World Cup someday. And if we can exact our pain and anguish on Spain, that's what football is about. Let's play a game. Let's play two.
Right. Exactly. Let's get together and forget that crap for a while.
That's right. And for Jeff Carlin, executive producer, WGN Radio, future physics teacher, friend of Kath's, baker of pies. And for me, John Cass of John Cass News, where you always get a good cup of common sense. Join us again next time, won't you, for another edition of the Chicago Way podcast on WGN Plus.